We suck again.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Clapback Sports. I am your host, The Mage. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, Murph. Say what's up to the people, Murph.
Murph, go ahead.
Murph?
I think he's muted. Is he muted?
Oh, Murph, are you there? Murph? No, you know what, Tino? He pushed it out today, Tino.
Yeah, he. You know what? I want the people at home to know we're just as disappointed as you are. Murph took the easy way out today. He took the easy way out, and I'm disappointed, Mage. I'm disappointed. I'm not surprised. I'm disappointed.
You could almost say that he pulled a Kenny Galladay on us.
That might be too soon. I'm hurting still. I don't know if I'm hurting.
But I mean, honestly, it was just like, he was like, look, I just don't want to do this today anymore. I'm just not in my happy place.
I'm scared.
I'm alone. Nope. It just feels like too much work right now. I just can't do this.
Well, so for the people who didn't know, this show is a choice. If we were paid to do this, maybe Merv would be here, but he had a choice and he chose not to be here. I don't know if I blame him, but wow.
No, Merv literally said, fuck this, I'm out. Like, you know, I talked to him yesterday. I was like, oh, are we recording today or tomorrow? He's like, nah, let's go tomorrow. All of a sudden today, we get that somber text message. Hey, guys, I'm out. I'm not recording today. I don't feel like it. I'm just not in the mood. You know, maybe we should just move it to every other week. Or I'm not sure if I can come back and I can do this anymore.
I know a lot of people that listen to this show are Giant fans, but if you aren't, please check on your Giant fan friend. It's important. Times like this, we may be here next week and we're going to give a eulogy for Murph. We might be giving a eulogy tomorrow for Murph. We don't know. He's dealing with something right now. You know, he's out of it, Mage. He's really out of it.
He is out of it. But make sure you follow me on Twitter at @TheMage_NFL. Follow my podcast partner who is here today at Tino Rodriguez, _ at the end. And why don't you go ahead and just send Murph a DM at @Clapback_Sports. Just ask him if he's doing okay. But Tino, this wasn't just a brutal loss to the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, this was bad. The Giants lost a lot of fucking starters, man.
This reminds me of the Chargers game, the Brandon Marshall year. I mean, we had everyone. We were 0-3, I believe, at the time, or maybe 0-4. So were the Chargers. And I think the Chargers made a playoff run. That was like the game. No, it was 0-3. I was like, the winner of this is out of it. Can't come back from 0-4, 1-3. You could do something. And everybody died. Odell broke his ankle or sprained his ankle. Marshall got hurt down the sideline. I forget who else, but that was Evan Ingram's rookie season. Yeah. And then Evan Ingram took off after that. And that was something in itself that hurt us even more than all of those injuries. But this time, though, the Evan Ingram incident was with Kadarius Toney. And I'm actually happy about this. I'm happier all the stuff that unfolded on Sunday rolled into Kadarius Toney trying to punch a Dallas Cowboys player in the face. He did not do it, but he tried. And that is enough for me. Yeah, Mage, I don't know. A lot happened. Where do we even start?
Kadarius connected, but my only thing that I don't get, and it's never made sense to me, why are you throwing a closed-handed fist at a fucking helmet? Like, if anything, you know, you always got people back, like, when they were on the ground, right? You put a little extra knee in their back or something like that. You push their head down. Or, you know, if it gets real, you know, if you're involved in the scuffle, you're grabbing each other's face mask, trying to rip their helmet off. But why are you trying to throw a punch at someone's helmet? I thought about this after seeing Kadarius Toney throw a punch, and I'm all for it. What they should start doing, instead of Kadarius Toney rolling up his fist, just fucking give him a little karate chop right in the throat. Just that. That's it. Save your hands. Just a little right in the throat. Throat
a little punch. Juno chop, like in Austin Powers, when he just hits them on their neck and they just faint.
Absolutely. Fucking throat punch him.
Well, I do want everyone.
Why are you punching the helmet?
I want everyone to know, after I saw that, I immediately bought a Kadarius Toney autographed rookie card. Had to do it. That punch was worth every penny. And I'll tell you why he punched his helmet. Because there was no logic behind it. The Dallas Cowgirls thought it was fun to circle around the smallest guy on the field who they could not cover the entire game, whether it was starters or second team or fucking Jerry Jones. Doesn't matter who was out there. Doesn't matter who was out there. Couldn't guard him. Couldn't. And four of them decided to pile up on him and thought they could beat up on the low guy. And he took no shit. And Kadarius Toney's got a fan in me. Young Joker's got a fan in me. Just for his entire tenure with the Giants, I don't give a shit. I'll go to bat for this guy any day of the week because I know, and as crazy as this is too, because Evan Engram stood up for him, so I will give Evan Engram that. But I know he'll stand up for our guys. We need some of that shit, dude. The Giants need some of that shit. Football needs that. They're taking out taunting in the game, Mage. They're taking out taunting. I like to see the violence. I like to see a little action because everyone's like, is he going to get suspended? It's like, for what? What did he get suspended for? You know, it's like, that's how soft the league is. Like, what did he do?
I love taunting. And of course, it was John Mara that was like, ah, there's no place for it in the game. Get the fuck out of here. I love taunting, especially defensively. I lay somebody the fuck out. I want to stare at you for a good second just so you know who your daddy is.
Dude, Mage, they had offsetting taunting penalties on Monday night. And this has happened a bunch. What happens is they don't know who to give the taunting penalty to. That's how dumb it is right now. It's like, you know what I mean? It's the second guy who gets caught. So the one guy who flexed, that's technically taunting. Then the other guy tells him to go fuck himself. It's technically taunting. And you just throw the flag for both and offset it. It's like, what are we doing here? You know, it's a waste of time.
Stupid. It's part of football, man. I like it. I like the fact that they brought back the celebrations. I hate the fact that the defenses run 95 yards after a fumble recovery. The opposite way to flex for a camera. But I mean, I like that, right? Pick up a first down. Hey, you don't want to see me fucking taunt you? Stop me then. Stop me. And something the Cowboys couldn't do to Kadarius Toney.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, the punch wasn't everything, but there were some positives. He did try to attempt a pass, or I think he technically did attempt a pass, right? He threw it to Danny. He was incomplete, but whatever. He got a red zone carry. We saw a lot out of Toney. Now, obviously, we're going to have to do this. I know we're fast forwarding a little bit here. And this show, to be honest, is going to go a little off the rails with just me and Mage because we're trying to distract ourselves from the fact that we have to play the Los Angeles Rams on Sunday with Mike Glennon, Devontae Booker, and Evan Engram, maybe, as our number one pass catcher.
Distract ourselves from the fact that Murph is in here to pick us up. That's because true. Murph is the cog that keeps the show going. When we're feeling down, Murph is the one that picks us up.
And he does create the show notes, albeit it's not all the time, and most of the time they're very late. He does make the show notes. So none of us did the show notes today. So
Murph, what are you talking about on today's show? Offense, defense, special teams.
Head coach.
I want to kill myself.
Yeah, lead with that. Lead with that.
But Kadarius Toney did have 10 receptions on 13 targets. Somebody told me that he had a catching problem, right? How stupid are they now? But he did have 10 receptions on 13 targets for 189 yards, more than Odell Beckham had. Most receiving yards.
You can't say that.
As a Giants rookie wide receiver.
Say that. People get mad. People get mad. Maybe you can't say that.
I know, and that's okay.
Imagine if the Giants still had Odell. Think about that. Think about that, Mage.
Well, I mean, if you really want to talk about, somebody posted the fact that Odell's yards per game have dropped off every single year he's been in the league. It goes down and down and down and down. It's not like, okay, one year it went down, then went back up, then it went back down. No, it has decreased every single year. So, first of all, a lot of people comparing Kadarius Toney to Odell Beckham. I don't see it at all. Kadarius Toney is way more electrifying. Odell was a show. I'm not going to take that away from him. The one-handed catch is great. But, man, I haven't seen anybody do what Kadarius Toney does.
He's elusive. He's like, I wouldn't say, I would say Odell is electric because he had the spark, right? It was just very bang. It kind of just Yeah, game breaker, and that's he was that throughout his entire career. But you saw with Tony in that game in itself, all the things he could really do, and he's not he's East and West, right? He likes to move a lot. Like Odell was kind of like straight at you. He was good downfield. But the biggest takeaway I got from Tony and the thing I was most impressed by was that contested catch on the sideline. That's something no one thought he had. I mean, the guy was a running back, undersized slot, gadget player. You're not seeing, you know, a guy his size and with his skill set doing that. And he did do that. And, dude, I was super impressed. I was super impressed. But this isn't – I know everyone's going to chase last week's points and assume he's going to be the guy this week. And I'm sure with him being the number one receiving option this week, it's going to be harder for him. But I just think if the Giants continue to just get the kid the ball and utilize him in the offense – he's not going to not be good. I don't think there's a way for him not to excel in this offense, especially in the state it is right now. He could do too much. He just does too much.
I just want to add this in because Phil Yates put out a tweet earlier today, and I'm reading this word for word. All right? This isn't me misspeaking. I know that a lot of people hate that I mispronounce a lot of things, and then I misspeak quite a bit. But the tweet says, Kadarius Toney, over the past 2 weeks – 16 catches on 22 targets, 267 receiving yards, 102 missed tackles forced.
Did you see?
Tony is so good that he has missed or caused 102 missed tackles.
That's well, did you see in Dallas, he broke the entire defense on the one play. That was four bodies there. And then he took Trayvon Diggs, Defensive Player of the Year. He sent him to Austin when he hit him with that out route. I mean, dude's moves are unreal.
The most impressive one was the one that Danny hit him on where he went one way and then just cut back towards the middle. And all you saw was just three Cowboys defenders. And all of a sudden, Tony was gone.
Yeah.
Completely gone. And it was like, Jesus Christmas. But, yeah, so Kadarius Toney, 102 missed tackles in two games. And I'm sticking by that number. I don't give a shit. That sounds legit to me.
They need to – you want to know what's funny, too, is that teams are overplaying when they can see him in, like, a passing set. Like, they're ready for it because, like, NFL coaches know this kid's – we haven't even seen his arm yet. He can throw the ball. Honestly, if Mike Glennon gets hurt, just give Tony the ball. Let him take snaps. 5 yards
from one knee.
Dude.
By the way, there was a huge debate on Twitter last week about somebody had put out a tweet about Trevor Lawrence throwing a ball 50 yards on a dime, right, rolling out to his right. So one of our friends, Mr. Chris 172, posted a clip of Danny rolling out to the left and throwing a dime to Slayton. But they said that rolling out to the left and then having to reset yourself is more difficult. Danny rolled out to his right and threw a 50-yard bomb to Kadarius Toney off his back foot.
With two people in his face.
So, I mean, if we're really worried about if you're ready, move on from Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, I want to ask you this, actually, because this is a good question. I think this will generate a decent conversation. So, Saquon gets hurt, like, first drive, one of the first two drives, whatever. So, Danny's obviously still in the game. And we were in the red zone. We were on like the two when the injury happened on a rollout. He dove into the end zone, took the hit, whatever, so be it. Did you think Danny was in a position there to lead us back? Did you still feel confident even without Saquon at that time?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with Danny's performance coming off of last week's game, 400 plus yards. We were right in that game at that point. So I absolutely felt like that they were still in it. I didn't feel like that they were out of it at any point, especially with Kadarius Toney heating up. The difference between Saquon and Booker, not that big of a difference to me. I hate to kind of say that. Saquon is a bigger threat in terms of those wheel routes, getting him out in space. Obviously, we saw it last week versus Lattimore. Right. So that's where Saquon's going to do a lot of his damage. But in terms of, running the ball, I actually like Devontae Booker's north-south kind of running a little bit more than Saquon dancing behind the line. Devontae Booker did have two touchdowns that game, one receiving, one rushing.
So I wanted to note, though, the reason I asked is that Danny was off a little bit to start that game. On the play to Saquon when he got hurt, he was a little wild. He just early on, he wasn't necessarily on point, but I felt good that with Saquon out, we would have had to air the ball out and do more. And honestly, I was really looking forward to seeing that. Win or loss, I was looking forward to Danny airing the ball out like 50 times and maybe getting 400 passing yards again. I would have loved nothing more. Even if the Giants lost, I was gearing up. I already saw Tony going off. Maybe Golly doesn't tap out. I just think the writing was on the wall there for Danny to have himself a game again if it wasn't for the injury. And why couldn't we just sneak it with him? Why did we have to do that rollout? Oh, my fucking God. All right.
So it's funny that you say that, though, Tino, because I did put out a tweet that said Daniel Jones looked off this game before exiting with a concussion. It's clear that he trusts Andrew Thomas much more to protect his blind side than Nate Solder. We hadn't really got into that yet. Nate Solder was put on his ass more than, I don't know. He was an absolute fucking tragedy at left tackle. That was another reason why fucking Danny was running for his life. He looked off. Danny looked the most uncomfortable this game than he has all year. And it's no coincidence that Nate Solder was protecting his blind side. Now, people say he started to settle down, and you saw that. But coming back to that concussion, Tino, I blame you for the concussion. Because it's people like you that say that Danny needs to run more. And I constantly yell at you guys and say, you forget that he's a quarterback. Danny threw for 400 yards the week before. He's still a quarterback. Yes, I like the fact that running is an aspect of his game, but Danny's got to be a quarterback first. He's not a running back. So I understand that keeps the defenses honest, but this is why I don't like putting Danny in those situations.
I wanted him to run in design runs with protection. I didn't want him on an island by himself. Danny had no moves.
Can we talk about that play for a second?
I don't understand it. I don't want to talk about the play.
So it was Kyle Rudolph, right? And then it was Wes Martin. On that play, it was Kyle Rudolph and Wes Martin, or maybe it was Solder and Martin. I forget right now. But neither of them trap blocked. They literally didn't send an edge for Danny at all. They lined up almost as if they were expecting a handoff, not a Danny rollout. So none of them blocked the two defenders. Danny, and they're literally fucking staring right at Danny get killed. None of them set the edge for him at all. At all. It was almost as if they were expecting the run on the right side of that line.
They definitely were. So I'm watching it right now. Well, Rudolph, he doesn't set the edge, but he holds his block and then lets go.
Yeah.
Martin does. He never had him. Martin, Jesus. I mean, this is just bad. I can't believe I just had to watch this again. Fuck.
But how bad was that, though?
Yeah, well, so then it's like you can look at a few things. I'd have to see this entire play being blocked because it could be a naked boot. But if that's like literally everyone else is
blocking, if it's a naked boot, then they should know to block in.
Down. Yeah, I mean, you got to get outside of him there.
It almost looked like as if it was, I guess, an RPO. And they didn't know.
I don't know. It wouldn't have been an RPO. There's no route combination there. That's a straight run. I just think it was a naked boot, and they just didn't seal the edge. Maybe they miscommunicated the call.
Why are they staring at the defenders?
I know. It's like they didn't even know.
They're literally standing there.
Yeah. No. They have no idea what's going on. Martin gives up, and Rudolph tries to recover, but it's far too late for that.
It almost appears as if they're expecting Devontae Booker run on the opposite side because they're like, all right, fuck it. The play is happening away from my guy. But I really don't get it. And you know what? As far as Rudolph goes, I'm sick and tired of him. This is just one stain on him. And then later on, when Kadarius Toney got into the fight, did you see Kyle Rudolph come over and kind of throw his backside and then walk away?
I didn't see that. No. You want to know what's weird, though? It's that, you know, well, not even weird, but the more frustrating part is that, yeah, Rudolph's guy is the one who gets him. Even with Martin letting the edge go, if Rudolph can just drive his guy and not fall off his block there, 14 is the one who closes in. Danny gets there without
even so. Right. You're talking about one on one then at that point, right? Just beat the guy, beat him to the edge, beat him to the pylon.
Yeah.
But it's two guys and now chasing down Danny on a naked
block in the yard.
Out there by himself.
He dances with his shoulders and just lets him go. That's brutal.
I mean, I saw that today, and I couldn't be more pissed off about that. Not only on top of that, but the way a fucking Nate Solder looked also. The good thing is that Matt Peart looked really good that game.
Mm-hmm. So what's going on with Andrew Thomas, by the way? Can I get told on something here? Because I'm just out of the loop. Tell me what's happening with him.
What? Is it?
But he was fully suited up, so this was a pregame injury? Or, like, what's going on? Like, I don't.
No, he was injured the week before. They actually brought up Corey Cunningham to the active roster just in case that Andrew Thomas couldn't go. It would be a pregame pre-snap decision on whether or not
they changed the wording. It's not pregame anymore. It's like, I fucking hate this. What are they doing to the game of football?
Game, post-game, pre-snap. I forget what it is.
I don't care anymore. Pre-field, it's ridiculous. I did hear something like that, and I just ignore it. Whenever I hear something like that I just don't agree with, I'm just ignoring it and calling it the same. Either way, it's like the Redskins. I still call them Redskins from time to time. I just call them the football team when I want to get them mad.
So, yeah, so apparently they felt prior to the game they didn't like the way that he looked, and, you know, he was inactive for the game. So, and obviously we're really seeing an effect of that. Danny's out now. I mean, had Andrew Thomas been in there, maybe that situation doesn't occur. It's unfortunate, but this is where we are right now. I mean, Saquon Barkley is probably going to miss 2 to 4 weeks. Danny's definitely missing this week at least.
Yeah, I really don't think they should bring Danny back yet.
And I feel bad for the kid. I mean, honestly, I want to give, you know, kudos to Cowboys defensive back, Jayron Kearse, who, you know, Danny's going back to the huddle and he just almost looks like he's going to fall over. And Kearse runs over to kind of help him out. He saw that Danny was in bad shape, you know. But this was a bad game for the Giants in terms of injuries. I mean, we talked about it earlier, right, about Murph pulling a Kenny Golladay. Kenny Golladay is also going to miss next week as well. They did x-rays on it. I guess apparently they feared that it might be worse, his knee injury, but says that it just looks like it's a hyperextended knee. It doesn't look like he's going to probably miss much time, but he'll probably miss a week. The same old Giants, man.
Dude, if you go on ESPN and look up the depth chart, it's just really tough to watch. Like, it's really tough to watch. Like, all the starters in red, like all of them. Except for Eli Penny, Evan Ingram, and three linemen. Five of our starting offensive members are not. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Matt Skura got hurt this game also.
Yeah.
Wes Martin came in.
Yeah, and that's not including
five guards in five games. The Giants brought in Forrest Lamp today for a workout. They didn't sign him, though. But
also, I want to circle back here, Mage, to the point that we've brought up all summer and all year, and it was that
– breaking my news?
You can just – the Giants are really good with health on the offensive line last year and in general, and now you're seeing it. Now you're really seeing it. That's why we were able to be competitive last year. We had an advantage. The Cowboys stunk because they fell apart. The Eagles stunk more than they should because they fell apart with injuries. We're falling apart with injuries. We were falling apart anyways, but injuries don't matter.
I did say on one of our previews that I was most concerned about the Cowboys. I thought that they improved their defense a lot. Adding Dad Quinn there. So the Cowboys have definitely proven to be a cream of the crop. But again, you know, they lost Dak last year. Their offensive line wasn't playing all that well last year. So one or two injuries could derail a good season. Not that the Giants were having one beforehand. But back to those practice squad practice squad tryouts. Let me try that again. The Giants did try out Forrest Lamp, but they signed Devery Hamilton to the practice squad, offensive tackle. So this is just rotating. I don't know, man. I'm not sure where we go from here.
Mike Glennon's neck. That's where we go from here, unfortunately. That's what we have to stare at. I tried to not watch the last couple games. He honestly, I think I know what you're about to say. He wasn't that bad. He wasn't that bad. You know?
The thing with Mike Glennon, we kind of previewed this before the season as well, is that, you know, we talked about Colt McCoy and the Mike Glennon, but Mike Glennon kind of fits what they want to do with this offense being more vertical, part of the Air Coryell offense. So I think having Mike Glennon in there, I don't think the game plan has to necessarily change in terms of their depth of targets, right? The problem is Mike Glennon was in there. He still threw two fucking interceptions. He threw one to Diggs, and then I forget who took the other one back to the house and kind of like junk time. But he's not a great quarterback because he hasn't seen the reads, right? He doesn't necessarily go through his – he's an arm is what he is. But I don't think this offense has to change all that much in terms of, you know, attacking downfield, et cetera.
You said he's an arm. He's just all neck. His neck is his arm.
That's what generates his own power.
No, you're right. And we have talked about Mike Glennon, but, you know, in the preseason and kind of how, you know, we wanted Colt. We kind of saw some other guys coming in to be the backup and so on and so forth. But, yeah, I think the part that we have skipped and we haven't talked about, and it's really what's the most depressing, is just how terrible this defense is. I mean, it's just, say what you want about the Cowboys offense. I know they're going to score points, but I mean.
Oh, did you say how terrible our defense was?
I mean, because, and I do want to preference that around, I know we had some turnover luck in the beginning of the game, but we were not very good. We were just not, so.
Yeah. So I put out another tweet as well. Jason Garrett, sadly enough, hasn't seemed like he's the issue the last couple of weeks. It's more Patrick Graham's defense. But my thing is, why is Patrick Graham still playing his defense 10 yards off the ball? I mean, you play your backs 10 yards off the ball. You're not creating contested catches. And we got destroyed by guys like CeeDee Lamb, right? Because you're allowing them room to work underneath. A guy like CeeDee Lamb that is a little more elusive can generate yards after the catch. I really don't get it. But I did go back and I did look at some of this defense. So I got a couple rankings here for you, Tino. Giants pass defense. They are fifth in most completions allowed. They allowed the sixth highest passer rating, ninth most touchdowns. Passing touchdowns, ninth most passing first downs, 10th most yards allowed. Oh, and opponents are converting 75% of their fourth down attempts against this defense.
Ow. That is just, I'm trying to think of the guys who stood out. I'm hearing all your stats and I'm trying to think of guys who stood out for good or bad ways. I think Austin Johnson jumped off the screen for me a little bit. I thought he played well, even though, you know, won't go crazy on the box score. I thought he played well. Reggie Ragland played better than, you know, I expected from the LB position. Bradberry looked like shit. Dory Jackson kind of looked like shit. And
Logan Ryan was much better. McKinney.
Yeah, Ryan was like, okay, a couple of times. I still swear I never see Xavier McKinney on the field. I don't know where he is. I don't see him in anything. Like, I just don't, like, he's there. I just don't see him. Okay, I don't see him.
Darius Williams, ACL injury.
Yo, and Redarius Williams played like trash too, though. And like, you want to know what bothered me? He's the one guy I think I watched, and I was like, he's the one thing in the draft I didn't understand. That's the one part I didn't get, like adding Redarius. Like,
but the thing is that you went out and you drafted Aaron Robinson, and then you went and you got Redarius Williams. The two things about them was their height and their physicality. For what? So you can play man? So you can play zone defense? Why do you care about their physicality and their height if you're going to play zone?
dude. And it's like, granted, they get bit by the injury bug, right? The both of them. But like, I knew it just anybody knew. Like, if you're going to trade up and get a secondary guy in the third who's your guy and you really like, why are you doubling down and getting another one? For what? I know there wasn't any top rated lineman, but the depth would have helped. Clearly it would have helped. Anybody would have helped. At this point, anybody else would have helped. Like, seeing Rodarius out there, I'm like, it literally doesn't make us better at all. The defense, like, with the way it is, like, the people we're paying for are not performing. So why does it matter if the draft picks are performing? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, we needed to invest and create assets, like, with those late picks and linemen. The Giants did it for years, finding late round gems like that. I think that's the best way to find value on linemen who are underappreciated from smaller schools with bigger bodies. And I'd have to look at the board and tell you about a handful of people I probably would have taken now over Rodarius Williams, because it's slipping my mind. But I remember at the time, I'm just sitting there like, okay, but why? Like, why all the DBs? Like, and you can go back. I mean, I was confused then. I'm still confused now. And like, seeing it just bothered me. And now they're hurt, and now we get nothing out of them. Robinson's on the pup, and it's like, what the fuck, man? You know, it's frustrating.
I kind of like the Rodarius Williams pick. I'm not upset by them, you know, taking all the cornerbacks. It's a passing league. I get that. And I evidently that was a focal point for them. But what I don't like is, and they did this in preseason, put Rodarius Williams in the slot. Like, you're not putting your players in a position to succeed. Joe Judge, the teacher. I mean, I just don't get what we're doing with this defense. You're not putting players in a position to succeed. Leonard Williams, not getting to the ball carrier. People are going to, you got a guy that's making $21 million a year.
They're back. All the Leonard haters are back. Yeah. I mean, they've never really left, but I mean.
But the thing is that, all right, so I get it. It kind of works both ways, right? If you got a good pass rush, it helps out your secondary because the quarterback's got to get the ball out quicker. But also, too, if you have a good secondary, it can also create a decent pass rush, too, or as we like to call it, coverage sacks, right? There's no place to go with the ball. Time runs out. But we're not doing either of that.
And that's why I understood the draft picks, right? You build to a strength, right? You add to a strength. Fine. That's how I justified it. But, like, it's just frustrating to see it now and just seeing all the holes and other things open up. And it's just like, I kind of just, even if they stood on defense, I just wish we kind of like just diversified it a little bit. I just think we stood in the secondary market. And I understand what you're saying, because they're all different. Like, their assets, they were in the box kind of guys. And that's what I thought we were getting too. And I guess it's interchangeable. It's less on the player and just more they were being used and how they are being used and now that they're hurt. But it's like, it's not what we signed up for. And if like we were kind of just in no man's land on what we wanted to do with them, and we shouldn't have been, if we wanted these people and drafted them, you should have an idea of how you're going to use them. But if we didn't know, like, there's just so many other glaring holes at the time that you could have just taken a shot on, you know, taking a
flag. Black Picasso is starting to look like a Van Gogh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, people, what?
I said, I'm not an art guy. I was terrible at art, but I get the point.
I mean, if people have said it. The reason why our defense was so good last year is because we played against scrub quarterbacks. And honestly, I didn't want to believe that because of scheme-wise. And the Giants did face a couple of good quarterbacks last year. But still, even with that, I hate to say it, but I think they're probably right. I thought way too highly of Patrick Graham based on what he did last year. And my biggest problem is I don't trust Joe Judge right now to figure this out, because everybody on Joe Judge's staff is somebody that he's friends with, somebody that he's close with. What's he going to do, fire Patrick Graham? No, not happening.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest concern, too. I think you're right. Like, there is no change. There's no change coming anytime soon. It's awful. It's awful. I kind of felt this way with the Mets season. I don't want to tie it to baseball, but that's where it was. But it was like reverse, because they were overperforming. So the managerial staff, which was a problem, the coaching, like, they ended up having to fire Chili Davis early. They fired the hitting coach. And we thought that would have been our Jason Garrett. But now, because the offense was performing, we don't even have the scapegoat. So it's like the guy you would out would be Patrick Graham, but since there's so many ties, that's not going to happen. And if it does happen, it's going to like open the floodgates, you know? So it's a weird situation. It's a weird situation.
To touch on next year too, because I know a lot of Giants fans are looking forward to it already, but I think Joe Judge is back. I think Danny's back. I don't think Dave Gettleman goes. I think Gettleman's back. And I'm not gonna sit here and say, oh, it's deservedly so, or I'm not gonna defend them, but especially not right now, 5 weeks into the season. But if you're going to do anything, I think they're gonna do it after next year. And I don't think it's the worst thing to do either. So if a lot of people say you hire a new head coach, they want to put their stamp on their quarterback. I personally, it doesn't matter how I feel about Danny. I think that Danny has the tools to be a franchise quarterback. But if you're going to do that, you're going to do that after Danny's fourth year. Next year, there's no quarterback in this draft worth taking. So I'm passing on the quarterbacks next year anyway. If you go and you get a guy like our boy Shane Baldwin likes Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan, and you pick up, let's say, an Evan Neal or a Kennard to protect the right side, even if you move on from Danny the year after, you now have Andrew Thomas on the left. You got Kennard on the right. Your offensive line is better. You got a pass rusher. Also, too, the way that Dave Gettleman structured these contracts. He signed a lot of these players last year. They were three-year deals. Next year is when a lot of these deals would expire, which would then free up the cap for a new GM, a new head coach to come in, and then kind of put their stamp on everything. So I get why Murph didn't want to do the podcast. Murph is disappointed, but, man, this is going to be – if this turns out to be a shitty fucking season – I'm not looking forward to next season either, Tino.
Yeah, pretty brutal. Because I think, you know, we probably don't give Saquon a contract. We probably don't pick that up at this point, which we knew kind of anyways. But yeah, it's going to be weird. It's going to be very muggy, very under duress, and like a lot of finger pointing probably next year. Oh, there's going to be finger pointing at the end of this season too. But, you know, I guess looking ahead at the Rams, I don't even want to talk about the double-digit spread. But
let me ask you something real quick before you get into the Rams game, because you brought up Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
Safe to say Saquon Barkley has kind of played himself, or lack thereof, out of his Zeke type of contract.
Yeah, do you think – all right, that's a fair thing if we want to talk about it. What do you think Saquon's even going to fucking expect? Because I think everyone's assuming that max mega contract, but there's no way – like, even in a business negotiation – winning rookie of the year is great, but how do you justify that? How do you justify a Todd Gurley contract? You know, I know money's different, but like, where are his accolades? Where's the All Pros? You know,
I'm trying to see if I can pull something up real quick. I was hoping that you would talk a little bit more.
Oh yeah, I mean, I could have talked
about it. I will buy time by dragging out my words.
Well, I wanted to talk about the Rams, and now we're here.
No, because this is a good question that you raise, right? So, all right. So Nick Chubb got a new deal.
Do you think he gets like a Kareem Hunt deal? Because like Kareem Hunt, probably when you think about it, he doesn't have the name, and I mean, he's going to get more than Kareem Hunt, but, you know.
Nick Chubb signed the deal for 3 years, $36.6 million. So averages around $12.2 a year. Now,
okay, so it's
right now, because of availability, I don't know if Saquon gets that, though.
I said Kareem Hunt because it's like it's 5.5, fully guaranteed. It's a two-year, $12 million a year, so it's six a year, basically. But that's a steal. It's just looking at that. That's insane for Kareem Hunt.
Also, too, they utilize him perfectly in that offense. I mean,
what are you saying? So, like, for Saquon, what, like $10 million a year?
Honestly, a number that I had in mind when I first looked up Nick Chubb's contract, I think $8 million. But then based on, right, because he does have a marketing factor. He does have an allure that goes – with him, that does account for something when you're looking at NFL contracts, because that's additional revenue for a team and owner. Mm-hmm. So, but I would say he's between the 8 and 10 range. I don't know if he's getting what Nick Chubb even got, 12 mil a year.
I can't even think about this now. But I think, actually, oddly enough, with this conversation, what it's brought me to is I kind of was more towards, we're not giving him a deal because he's still going to expect it, like expect that super big contract. And like, we wouldn't have the funds to do it either way. But if he accepts, like, you know, if he's willing to negotiate something less, I mean, I kind of painted this picture that we might be losing Saquon, but like, it kind of seems like his injuries have brought him back to the Giants. Like, I think he's just staying here.
So my question is to you, what is a contract that you would be okay with and what range?
I don't know, because I know we're fucked in the books, according to you and Murph. Well, Murph says this more than you, but apparently the Giants don't know how to manage a bankroll, even though it's done in 2 years. Like, Saquon's next year, no? Like, what are our meetings?
2018, so 18, 19, 20. No, this is just, yeah, so they picked up his fifth-year option already.
So it's this year. So I don't know what we have next year. That's what I mean. I don't even know. Because now we're in a rabbit hole. Because I know, you know, we're fucked on the books. Again, according to Murph. Murph is my books guy.
If you're ending things with according to Murph, I'm not sure.
Well, I'm just letting people know where I get my information from. Okay. So when you're like, Tino's wrong, I'm just like, well, hold on. Let's circle back to where I heard it from.
Probably not the best source, but. Let's see.
I think he's loosely right, though, because like you said, I think we get more clear the next year, the following year. So it's the year
after that, a lot of the contracts come off the book. So let's see. Saquon Barkley, $7.2 million next year.
Right. So he'd have to get 10, dude. I'm telling you, he'd easily get 10. If he knows Chubb's getting 12, he's definitely coming to the table for that, without a doubt. And then they're going to have to figure something out where they probably front load it and then just – I don't know. I don't even know what we need to keep Saquon happy.
According to SpotRack or SpotTrack, whatever you want to call it, their estimated cap space for next year is negative $8.2 million.
Right. So fucked. So Murph was right.
Well, we'll see. We also don't know what the impact is going to be in terms of those new NFL contracts that they just did, the television deals. So that's going to add a lot more money into it, too, especially with the revenue sharing. It's a lot closer than it used to be in years past. I think it might be 51-49 at this point. So 49% of that's going to go back to the players. So that's going to be an influx of money also, which a lot of people are expecting. Due to COVID, the cap actually didn't grow as much as was expected because of the year with no fans. So there could be money out there that we're just not seeing right now that might end up pumping more money into next year. But yeah, there's a lot of contracts out here, man.
Yeah.
Let's see. Does it
say? I really hope Adoree Jackson starts doing something. That would be nice. He hasn't looked good at all. Really bad.
They're also not utilizing them correctly, though, either.
Yeah, no. Everyone's getting the finger pointed at them. No one's above the other one. It's just a lot of garbage, except for Danny. We love Danny. And Tony. Dude, I'm telling you, I know I said I'm not getting any more memorabilia, but if he has any Young Joker merch out there, I'm going to buy it.
Look, if you want to prove that you're a real Kadarius Tony fan, go and buy his album.
I met him at an airport. We might as well be best friends. I've told you about this already, so we dapped up. So me and Young Joker go way back before he was big. Before he was big.
So in 2023, the Giants cap opens up. It goes from negative eight next year to like $88 million the year after, and obviously it's with all those contracts coming off the books. So right. Main names that they would still have on the books in 2023 would be Leonard Williams, Kenny Galladay, Adoree Jackson, Sterling Shepard still be here. Logan Ryan, Andrew Thomas, and then obviously all the rookies.
Daniel Jones. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's not on here because they have next year to pick up his option. So
Danny Stang. I think if anything, and we kind of said it, Danny Stang. New GM or not. I think with all the hate Danny gets, and they've said this forever since he's been drafted, and you see it more and more. GMs fucking love Daniel Jones. A rich white owner loves Daniel Jones. He literally has everything you would want. He has everything you'd want in a quarterback. And you're right. Like, these anomaly quarterback classes, like, I feel like people have gotten spoiled with the amount of talent coming through at a young age now, because just of how everything is in the college football realm, and like just the sport changing, and quarterbacks getting so influxed in the first round. But like the 2004 draft class with Eli, the reason those stand out is because those rarely come around. You know what I mean? Like, people get so shot up on hype. It's the years that, like, you kind of forget about guys. Like, Danny's class, like, Kyler at the top. People were shitting on Kyler, too, because he was a baseball guy. Like, the years you're most hyped, more often than not, the Tuas of the world tend to let you down more than the guys you don't know about. Point being, those big-name classes, rarely do they hit. And when they do, yeah, they change the game. It's crazy. The Elway draft class. Like, but I feel like every year we hit reset. It's like, oh, this is the year, though. This is the year. Maybe it is, but at the same time, you can't put all your eggs in the basket of we're finding the next franchise quarterback this year. That's why I didn't mind them taking a chance on Danny. See some shit on a young guy that no one else has seen, because that's what you need to do.
Hasn't looked at this year.
Yeah. I think he's going to be fine.
Zach Wilson, well, they got to get rid of Urban fucking Meyer, who's sticking his fingers
out of all of them. I mean, Trey Lance, I saw him, you know, in a football uni finally this week and saw him move around. I could see why people liked him, because you could see his build. But like Justin Fields, like, you know, if he's going to play how he played in Ohio State and Chicago, Matt Nagy's not the guy for him. If the guy's not going to run, it's going to be fucked in terms of how people are going to view him, because he has legs. He's just not moving with them. So he's just trying to be a pocket passer, and that he won't survive with Matt Nagy doing that either. So Trevor Lawrence with Urban. But yeah, man, I knew it from the beginning when people were like Spencer Rattler. I'm like, you are the stupidest people I've ever talked to in my life. Like, I mean, all you had to do was follow Oklahoma the last 2 years. You knew Spencer Rattler wasn't that good.
Spencer Rattler benched for Caleb Williams.
I mean, Oklahoma knew that. Like, this what they lost, I think, to Kansas State 2 years ago at home, like early in the year, like two games in. I was like, this kid's cooked. No one, Jalen Hurts would never, Kyler would never, Baker would never go through every Oklahoma. Never. They would never lose to Kansas State at home by like 20. And this kid managed to do it. And I know he doesn't play defense, but you're in the Big 12. If you're going to Oklahoma, you know you're going to have to put up 50 points a game. And I'm not impressed when he does it. He does it sometimes. He has an arm, but the Spencer Rattler, I don't know, man.
Same thing with Sam Howell, too.
Yeah.
Quarterback at a UNC. I mean, we've seen that, been there, done that. Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I agree. If they move on from Danny, it's not going to be next year. It'll be the year after. But moving ahead, looking at the celebration of the 10-year anniversary of Super Bowl. I mean, because that's the only thing we have to look forward to that game now.
I don't even want to talk about it.
Are you going?
No, I'm not going. I fucking refuse to go. Are you kidding me? I lost on Eli Day.
Bujon Mara.
I'll probably get offered the tickets last minute, and then I'll have to decide. Is the game at 1? If it's at 1, I don't want to get at 1. I don't think
I'm not sure.
I'm not going to go. I can't. I said I'd protest, but then they won. But I didn't sign up for this shit. I didn't sign up for this. No one told me I'd have to do this.
My pick is, so if we were to even have a chance against LA. Well, actually, no, I'm sorry. I'm taking that back. Because if I was going to initially say, if we were to even have a chance against them, our defense would have to play much better, our secondary, because their wide receivers are just fucking, they're really good. They have an actual quarterback now in Matt Stafford that could throw deep.
Maze, we're fucked.
Then I'm also like, shit. Yeah, I forgot about Aaron Donald and the fact that we're starting sold on our offensive line. Like, this game's cooked.
I saw Aaron Donald last week. He doesn't play like other people. And we don't even have Nick Gates to fight him this time. So I don't know. We don't even have the guy. We don't have the enforcer. We don't have our enforcer. Kyle Rudolph. We're in big trouble. That's all I'm going to say. Bet the under. Bet 5 touchdowns for every. By the way, speaking of betting a shit ton of touchdowns, I'll probably bet like Robert Woods 3 touchdowns because I know he loves going off against the Giants in history, in history's past. I hit on a Derrick Henry 3 touchdown bet this week. That's pretty sweet. But it was crazy because it was like a homecoming game for him and it was only 10-1. So I wish it was better and cooler, but hit on it. So we'll carry that into this Sunday and bet a bunch of Rams to score 3 touchdowns. Someone's doing it. I don't know who's going to do it. I have no idea. Someone's doing it. Someone's just going to beat the crap out of us. Like a Chase Edmonds. It's going to be like, I don't even want to watch it.
You know who's back, Tino, right?
Who?
You know who's back in the Meadowlands this Sunday, right?
What are you talking about?
Deshaun Jackson.
Oh, my God.
Deshaun Jackson's back.
Oh, my God. You're going to make me bet too much money on Deshaun Jackson to score a touchdown. And touchdown.
He's guaranteed one touchdown. Guaranteed at least one.
I'm not going to this fucking game. I'm not watching it either. I'm not doing it.
Robert Woods scores 2. Cooper Kupp with 1. Deshaun Jackson with 1. Darrell Henderson, 1 rushing touchdown. Where are we at already? What is that?
Well, so I think they're putting at least 35 on us, so that gives us 5 touchdowns. So you probably give 1 to a running back. Just chalk it up to a running back, right? Well, yeah, Michelle or Henderson. So we have 4 to go around. I think Kupp is going to be an easy one for people to bet, but the value is going to be shit. And he actually has always been a receptions guy, even though he gets touchdowns. So that's why we like Robert Woods. So Woods gets 2, Jackson gets 1, and then maybe Van Jefferson. Little Van Jefferson action in there. Yeah,
yeah. Oh, well, don't forget the tight ends.
And the Giants can't guard a tight end. So Higbee gets another one.
Higbee, yeah.
Maybe they get 40. No, because the thing is, if they score too quickly, then they're going to run the ball. So then a running back gets 2.
McVay doesn't care about that. Yes, on the pedal the whole way.
So you're right. Maybe Van Jefferson scores 2. You got to think of like a deep wide receiver that like he'll keep out there. Just keep targeting the ball because he's getting like 6-7 targets a game.
All right. So Rams 49, Giants 3. That's what you're saying.
That's fine. Yeah. And here's what's going to happen, though. We're going to score 3 on the first drive. Out the gates, we bring it to the 10, kick the field goal, and then just 49 unanswered.
It's just unbelievable. I mean, I'm still going to watch. I don't know. I just cannot watch, but
I'm not going to go to the game though. I can't. I really can't do that. It's just going to be painful. It's going to be painful.
You know who I feel even worse for? Michael Strahan. Because I don't know how many people are going to be at that Eagles game.
I'll go. That I'm going to. More people will go. Yeah, because the Eagles are going to stink. Like, even though they beat the Panthers are frauds. Like, the Eagles are going to stink. They're going to be right there with us. So that's going to be a bad, good game. It's going to be a really good game that's awful, you know, with 2 bad teams.
Not if we're starting Lewerke.
That's a good point. I do think the Eagles probably finished 2nd. It's not too late for anyone who claimed Washington Super Bowl contenders, NFC East winners, and the best defense in football to please show yourselves. It's okay. Giants fans have to face the music. All of you non-Washington fans need to also face the music because you decided to root for a team who's just – we'll leave it at that. We lost to Washington on a false start, but they're just not good. Not good. No.
All right. Tino, do you have any picks for us?
We gave a bunch of miscellaneous ones right there. Bet responsibly. Check out, well, if you want my best bets, check out on FTN Network every Thursday at 3:00. We're dropping Betting with Benny and Tino. No big deal. My prop bets are plus 25 units. Not a big, really, guys. Not a big deal. But I'll do some game picks for you guys. We normally do teasers on that show, so I'll try to bet with the spread here. I did tell you before the show, Mage, I was looking at the Cards as a road dog against the Browns. I think that might be a popular pick because they're 5-0. So I'm kind of iffy on that. Oh, God, this board is really, really, really gross. So we're leaning Cards plus 3. Give me the 3. And then one second. Hold. Let me just see this line. Yeah, we'll just take the Packers to cover the 4.5 after they pushed with the Bengals in a really ugly game. They're going to beat the shit out of the Bears. Aaron Rodgers loves to beat the Bears in Chicago, loves to do it. And normally at the end of the season. So give me that. Give me the Packers.
This was just a really bad week overall for the NFL in general. I mean, you were right. There were no kickers that wanted to win a game.
None.
Right. So it was the Packers and the Bengals. And then before that, who missed?
It was everyone. Like the Texans missed kicks. The Lions missed a kick or made a kick or someone missed and then they made the kick. It was fucked. The Giants missed one to open the game.
It was just really weird. And not only that, too, then there also was shit ton of injuries. Clyde Edwards-Helaire on the IR now. Who else? Russell Wilson got hurt. He'll be out, 4 to 6 weeks?
Yeah, I had a lot of them.
We talked about Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, Kenny Galladay.
Dalvin Cook didn't even play.
Tyreek Hill, I believe, had a knee injury. I don't know what
the – might have been concussed, but he's going to be okay.
But, I mean, Jesus Christmas, this was a really bad week. I know you're into fantasy. I'm into fantasy, too. But this was just a really bad week overall for the NFL.
Tough to manage. You know, I guess because we've been coming out of the fantasy community a little harder. I mean, we're both technically a part of it in a sense. Not really, but it's just funny. We could have had a fantasy show today, but we didn't. We made it. We talked about the Giants. We didn't think we could do it. Murph definitely probably didn't think we could make it this far, but we did. I'm proud of us. Look at that.
What else? Speaking of NFL, we didn't even talk about John. No, never mind.
Don't do that. I was gonna bet against the Raiders. I was gonna say that bet the Broncos because they don't have a coach. And you probably should. I think it's like 3.5, but just no comment. No comment.
Well, like I said early in the show, make sure you check in on Murph, see if he's doing all right. But that is gonna wrap up this episode of Clapback Sports. Thank you everyone for listening. Peace and love, everyone.